Sunday, I proposed a question to you, and today I will propose the same question to you. What time is it? Last Sunday, you said it was preaching time. Today, it is praying time. We did this. I did this message, and my wife, we were talking the other day while she was homesick. We was talking about something, and it came up that I had done this message, and she remembered. I did them all in one at a Thanksgiving service. I think it was at Woodlawn. I think I did the message there after we had service here for choir anniversary. I rushed up there and did that message, and I haven't been back to one since. And so she reminded me of that message some kind of way it came up, and she went and she had it in something in her book. She keeps them all somewhere, and she scribbled it down for me. And so instead of doing it in one, I'm going to do it in about four or five, because it's too much compacted in there to just let each one of them be a point, and I'm still not going to touch on all of it. Today, praying time. Praying time. Praying time and all of these messages that we're going to preach are just like we say fried chicken is. It never runs out. Most people always can eat some fried chicken. And that's the way it is with this. That's the way it is with preaching time. It's always preaching time. And if you preach, you gonna pray. You just got to pray if you preach. And so today we say it's praying time. And in this message we looked at and we are gonna attack it from a fleshly point of view and hope you see the spiritual side of it. We're gonna attack it from prejudice and rejection. Those two things, prejudice and rejection, they're wrong. The rejected is to be reached out and helped. The rejected are always cut off from society, excluded from walking in the midst of society. They are unacceptable and ostracized because society wraps its acceptable behavior around itself and secludes itself from those who are different. We do that in our denomination, in our style of doing things. We want to exclude everybody else and the way they do it. Don't do that. We're trying to say, and the person that says this seems like, and y'all, I'm not blaspheming against him. I'm trying to get you to see. He was teaching. Society has little time to deal with those who differs, and sometimes we even fear them. But this must not be. Society must allow its seclusion to be interrupted. Face up to the difference and need of the rejected. Converse with them and discuss the difference with them. And then work to meet their needs. That's what Jesus will do for each one of us. Point number one, in this passage of Scripture, the main character is Jesus the Christ. Point number one is he needed rest. Jesus is seen deliberately withdrawing to the border of the Gentile countries. This was not a Jewish area that he withdrew himself to. He needed quiet and time to prepare himself and his disciples. You do need that quiet time. You need that time alone with just you and God. That's why, y'all gonna have to help me out because I'm finna put my foot in my mouth. That's why late at night, if sometime I wake up and go to the bathroom, she still have not been to bed. She's up. I did that one morning, Brother Joe, when she was in FBI. I was getting up going to the gym. She was just getting ready to go to bed. Had been up all night with that quiet time with God. You need that, and you need to find time for God. To her, that was her best time, because 99% of the time the TV was playing, and she wouldn't go in the back then. She would just stay up then. I would play, especially if it's basketball season. I would be watching a basketball. But she had to have that time with God, and she knew about 10 o'clock or 10 minutes to 10, I'm going to bed. So then she would have time to have God all by herself. All of us need that time alone with God. And if Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost, needed time alone with God, who do you think you are? He had to get away from those people that he knew who he was. The only place he could find freedom from the crowd and from his opponents was the northern area bordering the Gentile territory. See, because the Jews had a prejudice, they were most likely not to enter the Gentile country. Y'all have looked at the maps with Judea, Samaria, Galilee, Judea, and Samaria. Samaria was a section. The Jews would come down to Samaria, take a left or a right. They most likely would take a left if they were heading south. They'd take a left and go across another country, come down the side of it. After they got past where Samaria was, come back into Samaria. They didn't want to be bothered with no Gentiles. They didn't like them. So Jesus knew if he get over there, he wouldn't be bothered with them. Oh, there's always somebody else to mess with you. This event foreshadows the spread of the gospel to the whole world. Everybody needs this gospel. God's great desire is to break down all barriers that we put up. And don't you think about and look hard at Jesus and me, because every one of us that's in here got a barrier somewhere that God needs to break down. Even if you won't come because somebody that you don't like just might sing a song, that's a barrier that's keeping you away from God. There's a time to labor, and there's a time to seek rest and God's presence. Seeking rest and God's presence are essential if we are to serve and serve with the power of this God that created us all. You need that time to recuperate. You need that time to gain strength, because when you are doing the work of God, it drains you, and you need to replenish yourself. Help me, Holy Ghost, because some people think all you got to do is just wake up in the morning and it's already there. I mentioned to the brothers Friday night that there's a passage in the scripture, and Dr. Michaels and them stressed this point at West Florida Baptist Institute, that the saying about I'll stand up and he'll speak for me. If you stand up, he will speak. You'll be standing up there wasting people time. You won't be telling them what thus saith the Lord if you don't spend time in God's word. You have to spend time in God's word to get what God has to say to you. Before I can put this on paper to tell you, God has to talk to me through his word. And you need to do that. That's why this morning, I'm going to tell it on him now. That's why this morning Deacon Jernigan said he was kind of scared to get up there, because he thought he could not do it. He can't do it in his own power. But when you spend time alone with God, God will give you what you need to do what he needs you to do, not what you want to do. When we're doing the will of God, you have no will. You are an ambassador of Jesus the Christ, and you do just what he would have you to do. Point number two. That comes from verse 24. Point number two. Helping the rejected. Helping the rejected. Somebody, and this is not in my notes, it's free. Somebody helped you when you were rejected. When you were looking for that job. When you were trying to accomplish something and everybody else kept turning you down, but you kept reading the advertisements and going to apply. Somebody helped you and you were rejected. Caring for the rejected is to allow interruptions by the rejected. This woman had two strikes against her. The first strike she had, the first strike is that she had a daughter with an unclean spirit. And in the ancient world, when a family member had an evil spirit, the whole family were ostracized. Because if you're in the same family and one of them got it, all of you got it. That's the way it was. All the family members they would all have that evil spirit. And both her, the daughter and the mother, knew what rejection was and the deep emotional feelings that it gave them because they were rejected. Her second strike was the mother was a Greek Syrophoenician or a Canaanite or one of those seven tribes, those seven nations of people that they ran out of the land of Canaan. She belonged to them. And Jesus was in her country. And I just wonder about this, and that's why the Holy Spirit does things. I wonder, how did she know? The Bible doesn't tell us, so it's not that important. But she knew. See, there's some God in the worst heathen that you can think of. There is some God in them, because if they are still inhaling and exhaling, God have not called his breath back from them. You will find those nations in the Old Testament around Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua. They're in those books. Those people and the Jews were bitter enemies. They despised and hated each other. The Jews didn't just hate them. They hated the Jews as well. So see, she had a problem too. But when she saw Jesus, so some kind of way she knew that he was coming. And she knew that he was a Jew. And she assumed him to be her enemy. But she went to him anyway. I wonder why. There is something that the Holy Spirit would do that's unexplainable. That person that you think will turn you around and reject you so hard, they probably just waiting on you to come and witness to them. But you got to take that chance. You got to step out of the box. You got to get out of your comfort zone and tell them what thus saith the Lord. But then when she went to him, I wrote on my paper, I asked myself a question. What did he do? Jesus allowed, he let her come to him. He let her come to him. He didn't stop her, as others had rejected her and her daughter and had nothing to do with them. She and her daughter stood alone in the world, rejected by all. They were rejected by their own people. And they knew they was rejected by the Jews. And she had heard that the Jews were supposed to be receiving a Messiah that was coming in the spirit of David, doing great things and healing great people. And she saw this man. And see, it was something about it. They could tell a Jew from a Canaanite. There was a difference in them some kind of way, and they could tell that difference. But Jesus allowed her to come to him. Jesus at this time needed rest and time to be alone with God. And the disciples probably were like they were at all other times. They said, send them away. They had a special church going along with Jesus to send them away, Baptist Church, because anybody that they didn't like, they sent them away. And we do that sometime today. We might not be aware of us doing it, but our attitude and the way we act and the way we treat people and the way we respond when they say something to us or when they show up, you've got to be loving and acceptable and be willing to receive people no matter how they come. If all of us, us's just could have seen all of us's just when we were coming in the spirit, we would have ran away because we were in bad shape. I can't speak for nobody else. But if you would have seen me coming in the day and you could have seen my spirit, you would have gone away. But because the God that was on the inside of you, yeah, Jesus didn't turn her away. Jesus allowed her to interrupt him going away. It said, I think it's in verse 24, but he could not be hid. Going away to find some peace and quiet, some R&R, rest and relaxation. But sometime when you're working for God, help me, Holy Ghost, your R&R will come in doing what thus saith the Lord. You might not can get your R&R like everybody else. Like Sister Karen won't mean to do. She just want me to just quit and do nothing for a while. I'm relaxed right now. I'm relaxed as I'm ever going to get right now. Because I'm doing what thus saith the Lord. Nothing else matters because my rest and my relaxation could be interrupted. But I'm doing what thus saith the Lord. And when you're working for God, you're not your boss. You're not your own. He got something for you to do, and you don't decide when you do what he have for you to do. You just are willing. That keyboard right now is no good to us because it's not being played. The drums, the guitar, they're no good. But when you need them, they function. That's the way you need to be with God. And that I don't believe that keyboard and guitars and drum talk to them and say, don't play me now. I don't feel like being played. Don't mess with me now. I'm resting. I'm in my R&R now. Leave me alone. No, whenever God presents the opportunity, you need to tell somebody about this saving grace of God. This woman stood alone in the world as rejected as a person could be, but she did not stop doing what was in her spirit. She wanted to be accepted, so she had to take a chance. She had to get outside of her box and talk to the Almighty God. What time is it? It's praying time. She said, will you help me? Will you help me? Point number three. To help the rejected, you must converse with them. Verses 26 through 28. Jesus listened to the cry of the rejected. The rejected woman besought him. She asked and she begged Christ to heal her demon-possessed daughter. She kept on begging and begging. And Jesus just kept right on listening, for you heard him when he read. He said he said not a word. He just let her keep talking and asking him, begging him to do something for her that nobody else had done. No, but what she didn't realize, she had made headway because she had somebody that was just listening to her. And see, sometimes that's all you need. Don't have a problem. You just need somebody to listen to you sometime. And I'm saying this right now because sometimes our elder seniors, they don't need anything, don't want anything. They just need somebody to come and listen to me for just a little while. They need to hear somebody sometime rather talk to them other than themselves. That's why you need to check on people, especially those that you know that may be homebound. You need to check on them because they and most of them, they don't need a whole lot. They just need somebody. And some of these people that you're looking at every Sunday, they need somebody to listen to them every now and then. Don't want anything, don't need anything, but just need somebody to sound, be a sounding board, be a drum, be a guitar, be a piano. I lay you all, those people that play those instruments, sometimes they play them and they don't know what they're playing. They don't know why they're playing, but when they're playing, they play it. And when they get up from there, there's a whole lot of difference. Because they feel a little bit better. While you're doing what God has put in you and you do that, you are doing what thus saith the Lord. Well, she kept right on begging and Jesus kept right on listening. This woman had only a limited concept of who Jesus was. She had apparently heard that the Jews expected a Messiah, the son of the great King David, who was to work miracles for them. Let me stop right there. She heard about him. Somebody had told her about him. Probably some old gray-headed grandmama had told her that there is a man that's coming, that he's going to be a Jew, but he's going to be the Messiah. He's coming after the spirit of King David. They all had heard about King David. But see, her limited impression or knowledge of Jesus the Christ was limited. That's the way most of us are when we first come to him. We look at him from the physical side of what he can do, what somebody have told us that he had done for them. We look at it from that side, and that's what she was looking at to Jesus. I just believe that's why Jesus just kept right on listening to her. In my mind, I can see him as she's talking to him. He just kept right on walking. She got between him and disciples, and she was saying, "Will you heal my daughter? Will you heal my daughter? Please, sir, you are the Messiah. You are the King of Israel. Will you heal my daughter?" She kept right on asking him, and he kept right on ignoring her. But he did not tell her, "Damsel, be quiet." Because if he would have told her that, she would have had to close her mouth. But she knew that as long as he didn't tell her to be quiet, she had a right to keep talking. And listen to me, God, listen to you talk to him sometime in your life when you did not know that he was listening to you. But you just kept right on talking. And I know I'm not the only one that he's done that to. Because I look at the situation that I was in, and the situation that I was in was not changing. Her daughter was demon-possessed. She kept telling this man, "Will you heal my daughter?" And I just know Jesus being who he is and who he was at the time, God incarnated on this earth, he knew all about her daughter, and he knew that she was coming before she got there. He knew that he was going to see her that day, that he had to get away so he could do what he needed to do. That's why sometime God will send you someplace. Don't know why you're going, but you're going because God said go. Way down deep on the inside, my spirit man said, "This is what you're doing." And because I'm on the same frequency that my father is, there's somebody that need to hear the word of God. This woman needed to hear that Jesus Christ would heal her daughter, but she wanted to hear it on her term as him being David, the son of David. But Jesus is more than the son of David, riding on a horse, a healer and a saver. He will do that, but you need to see him in the spirit. That's why he kept her talking. That's why she, the rejected woman, he knew her heart. Her heart was in it, what kind of condition it was in. He knew what she needed in order to be brought around to understand that his true messiahship. Jesus will help you to understand why you need him. He helped this woman by stirring her need for humility to the rejected. Jesus said, let the children first be filled. He is saying that the Jews got first shot at this bread, and they must reject it first. They must have the chance to receive it first. This woman was not a Jew. Whoever, whatsoever in this statement to the woman, it was merely a statement of fact. Facts sometimes sound harsh. You need to clean up your act. Sometimes that will sound harsh. But when you look at just a slice of the pie, it seems like it's harsh. But when you look at the whole pie, it's the truth. The Jews must first receive the gospel, because that's who it's sent to. It was sent to the Jews. So the Jews had to receive it first. She was trying to get in. Wasn't nothing wrong with it, but you got to get in pecking order. There's an order in God. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order. He said the Jews first. The Jews had to have chance to receive this gospel. They had the chance, and that's why I'm standing here today. They rejected him, and when they rejected him, that gave me the right. He told her, he called her a dog, and that kind of bothered me, because you don't call a person a dog around here unless you call them a big dog, and then they think it's all right. But if you just call them a dog, you're putting them way down. And that's what the Jews did. They called them Gentile dogs. That means they are nothing and they're nobody. Jesus told him, would you give the children bread to the dogs? And she said, yes, Lord. She agreed with him. Because, listen to me, because Jesus had what she needed. Yeah. Jesus had what she needed. So she had to get herself in position to receive that. And to me, when she said, yes, Lord, her daughter's healing was on the way. Because she admitted, I'm just a dog. But she did something there. Now, I don't want y'all to miss that. She said, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Listen. There's two different words in the Greek for dog. There's a street dog, and there's a dog that live in the house that's under the table where everybody eats. Help me, Holy Ghost. And that's the word that he used, the dog that says it's a little puppy. I got it written in my notes. I ain't going to get to it, but it says a lap dog. That's a dog that jump up in the lap of the owner and just sit there in the lap. Anybody in here got a lap dog? A lot of people got them. So you see the difference between the dog. There's a dog that can eat the crumb of the master's house, because they are dog in the master's house. I also got in my notes, I'm not going to get to that, President Obama's dog. He got two of them, ain't he? I lay you odds. They live better. Listen. When you're a dog in the master's house, you live well. You live well. Some people take better care of their dogs and cats than they do the people that they live with. Yeah. So therefore, if you're a dog in God's house, you living high. But this woman, she had to come to a place of humility, and being called a dog, she humbled herself and said, "Yes, I'm one." But then the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But see, you are better than the dog. You better than the dog, because you are a child of the King. I was listening to somebody or something say, talking about the marriage supper in Revelation. When you gonna have the supper, all God's children gonna be there. Ain't gonna be eating no crumbs off the table. And I know the crumbs are made of the same stuff that the other stuff is made of. And I know that if you got a pound cake and you got it all on one plate, after you cut that last slice, I know them crumbs, they good. I know they are. They good. But ain't nothing like eating a slice. Same stuff. It's just up here. That's what you'll have when you are a child of the King. You'll have everything you needed. Jesus, in the process of doing this, he led this rejected woman to persist and believe with great spiritual insight. Because she was rejected, she had to keep persisting. She had to keep messing with him. She had to keep talking to him. She had to keep going after him, because she had to become humble. She had to allow the Spirit of God to engulf her and to work on her. That's what's wrong with a lot of church folks today. They have not humbled themselves. It's always I, me, and mine. You got to get away from that. You got to humble yourself and remember Calvary. Remember that back in Genesis, he said, let us go make man. The us that helped him to make man is the one that's talking to this lady. He was in the us. But he came as what he made. And the way I make myself understand this, Henry T. Ford made the T-Model Ford. He could not have become a T-Model Ford. Jesus created man. He became what he made. To see how it was to be that. So he know everything that you're going through. You are not having to go through anything that Jesus does not understand. That's why he could die for us. Because he understood where we would be coming from. You need to understand that until you humble yourself, and there are a lot of people that are Christians that have no humility nowhere about them. Ouch. Ouch. I hope I did not get your toe. I hope I got your whole foot. If you are that person. Because we have a tendency to think that once I think I'm saved, that puts me above everybody else. It does not. It puts you beneath them, because you are to be their servant and to get them to come to Christ. God, Jesus Christ, talking to this woman, was talking to her on her level. He came down to where she was. She couldn't come up to where he was, so he had to come down. You too. He had to come to where you are to pick you up, to bring you to where he is. And if he would not have come to pick us up, we would not be where we are today. She had to persist. She knew that she was a dog. However, being a dog in the family of God is a great thing. You got a master. You got a master. And you are his servant. you do what he said for you to do. And when you do that, you will find that God is in the blessing business. The next point that I have on my notes is point number 4. Care for the rejected. You have to meet their need. Jesus answered her prayer. He cast the devil out of her daughter. And the Bible does not tell us that her daughter was right there with her. Her daughter, I get the impression, and I haven't found anything else to say is anything different, she was not there. For I think it's in verse 30, it says she found her at home on the bed. Wherever her home was, that's where she found her daughter. But Jesus healed her daughter, and she was not in his presence. Why are you saying that about it? Whatever your situation is, God can take care of it right where you are. Right where you are. But you got to pray. What time is it? It's praying time. And when prayer is the sincere desire of the heart of one to a Lord God Almighty, that you believe in faith that he can do what you need for him to do. I keep telling us prayer is our connection link from earth to heaven, all the way to glory. You can reach glory by praying here on earth. You have to pray. You need to pray. You ought to pray. Don't know where many verses are in the Bible, but I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Says, pray without ceasing. If I got the chapter wrong, I got the book right and the verse right. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing means that you pray all the time. No. You don't have to just get on your knees and pray. And all of us stand up prayers every now and then. Every now and then. You ought to get down on your knees. And you ought to just talk to God and to tell him everything that you need for him to know. When you get on your knees to pray, I read in one of those books, Deacon Westbrook, that when you're on your knees to pray, you have a tendency not to get distracted, because you won't every now and then open your eyes and look around. But when you're down on your knees, it's the most humblest position that I think a man can be in, because he's on his knees. He's not standing up. And somebody said, when you're on your knees, you cannot stumble. And I tell myself, if I fall while I'm on my knees, I don't have as far to go to get to the ground. Because if I'm on my knees, I'm on what I am. My knees are made of dirt. And God made the earth of dirt. I'm made out of that. And so therefore, if I'm what I became out of, you get me back to it. The brothers and sisters, you just got to pray. You just got to pray. It's praying time. It's always praying time. When you can't do anything else, you ought to be able to pray. You ought to be able to reach to heaven. You ought to be able to talk to God. And there's not a soul that's living, I believe, that know the worth of prayer, that haven't prayed for themselves and haven't thought of something that God have done for them that nobody else could do. You might not tell anybody today, but one of these days you will tell the world what God have done for you. He brought me from a mighty long ways, and I know this for a fact. He's not through with me yet. I say that because I'm still inhaling and exhaling, because as long as he let me live, I'm going to preach this word, and I love to pray to him and talk to him, because I know that he's listening to me. He got his number, and I don't ever have to leave a message. He always answer. Won't be transferred. Won't have to get it later. He got it now. It's hot off the press. But sometime when you get down to prayer, you need to have a listening ear. Don't just talk to God all the time. Sometime when you pray, you need to pray and listen. You need to be listening to what thus saith the Lord. I'm glad you ask. How do I listen? Here it is right here. The message is already written out. It's in the word. If you ask him, you got to believe in faith that he's going to do just what he said. What time is it? It's praying time. You just got to pray, because if for no other reason, Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and the living God, got along to pray and talk with God. John chapter 17 of the book of John is basically what I call the Lord's Prayer, because he prayed that prayer and he got me in there. I'm in there. Don't know which verse it is, but I know what it said. It said basically, those that believe on what you're saying. He said, Lord, I'm praying for them and I'm one of them. I believe what this word says. It says if I pray and talk to him, he will answer my prayer. And I'm a living witness, because I'm still here today, that he heard my prayer. He heard me, and he's going to hear me again, because I'm going to keep talking to him. He's worthy to be praised. What time is it? It's praying time. I know it's been preaching time, but it's praying time. You done heard the message about preaching time. Now you hear the message about praying time. It's time to start praying. After you pray, then you'll come back and you can preach this word. I'm glad you asked. I told you last Sunday that every one of your preachers, you need to tell somebody about this word of God. When you preach the word of God, you have to stay in prayer. You got to pray, because people that you're dealing with will drive you to your knees. They'll make you pray. If you've been praying 3-minute prayers, they'll have you praying 5-minute prayers. Then when you start praying 5-minute prayers, you'll be praying 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Won't make no difference. You just pray. God is an awesome God. He cares for the rejected. You got to understand that it's praying time. And when you pray, pray expecting God to answer your prayer. We must pray. When we pray, we must call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. When we pray, we must pray and make an eternal deposit with God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. When we pray, we must seek God and his strength continually. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. When we pray, we must watch and pray and resist temptation. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. When we pray, we must never give up, but continue to stand in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. When we pray, we must make our request in the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, verse 24. When we pray, we must pray by the power and with the help of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we must pray always. We must pray. When we pray, we must pray in humility. That's what this woman did. And I know I didn't talk much about her praying, but her talking with Jesus. Prayer is talking, a conversation with God. When we pray, we must pray with our whole heart. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. When we pray, we must pray with unshakable faith. And let me stop right there. Unshakable faith, meaning you might not look, you might not think you're going to get an answer. Might not look like you're going to get an answer. You might have to pray day after day. You might have to pray month after month, year after year. But your faith is unshakable. You just got to stay right there. When we pray, we must pray fervently with fervent energy. You must understand that you got to pray like you mean it and like you want God to answer your prayer. When you pray, You must do those things that are pleasing to God. You got to please Him. That comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. You just got to pray. You must pray. You need to pray. When you pray, God will hear your prayer. When you pray, pray from the depths of your heart. Don't try to pray when you're praying in public or in private to impress yourself or others. Don't do that, because you are not praying and preaching and singing to me. If you're doing it for the right reason, you're doing it to Lord God Almighty. And God knows, just like this woman, Jesus knew her heart. But she had to stay there. She had to be persistent. She had to keep telling it. He knew. But she had to move from a place of believing the physical to get to the spiritual. The stuff that we have that we think is valuable, it's not worth anything. It's not worth nothing. All it's going to do when you die is cause arguments and confusion in the family. That's all it's going to do. But what you store up in heaven, can't anybody mess with that. What time is it? It's praying time. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. This is your time, and Jesus Christ will supply all of your needs. If you come to Jesus, you and submit your life to Him, you will be, and you are a wealthy person, because you have eternal life. And there is no value that you can put on eternal life, because Christ will save your soul. And eternal life is a long time of life. Will you come to Christ today? Don't mean if your name is on a church roll. But you need to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you come to Christ just as you are? He'll save you. No matter the condition that your heart is in, if you receive Christ into your heart, you are good to go. You are good to go to heaven, but you have to receive Him. And don't think because you are a good person that you are okay. I stop by to tell you, you can be a good person and go to hell. But you need to submit your life to Jesus Christ. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Come to Christ just as you are. He'll take you. Not anything. Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Yes, sir.